Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians is in the New Testament, immediately after the 1 Corinthians, and before you get into Galatians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And we're going to be reading from verse number 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affection. Now, in return for this, I speak as to children. You also be open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affection. I would like to read the same passage from the Message translation. This is what it says. Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide, open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallest you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you are living them in a small way. I am speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. I love that. It says, your lives aren't small, but you are living them in a small way. The New King James translation says, you are not restricted by us. You are restricted by your own affection. You are restricted by your own affection. This morning, I want to begin a series, like I said, that we've titled Limitless. The Mercedes-Benz that we drive today is something that many of us actually desire to have. Now, that car was actually made first by a man by the name Carl Benz, sometimes in the 19th century. Now, specifically in 1886, he drove his first automobile through the streets of Munich in Germany. And by the way, he named the car Mercedes after his daughter. His daughter's name was Mercedes. Now, this first automobile that he was going to make angered the citizens because, one, it was noisy, and they felt it was scary for children and horses. So the citizens, they pressured the local officials to establish what we now refer to as speed limits. So they put a speed limit on horseless carriages. Horseless carriages because at that particular time, many of their carriages were driven by horses or by at least animals. Now, so they put a speed limit on this first Mercedes-Benz. And the speed limit was quite very ridiculous. It was 5.6 kilometers per hour to drive within the city. And if they're going to drive outside of the city, it was going to be 11.2 kilometers per hour. Now, just picture yourself driving your car at 5.6 kilometers per hour. You know, it's like you're going to sleep off, you know. But that was the speed limit that was set. Now, Benz knew immediately that there was no way he could develop a market for his product, for his car, and that he would not be able to compete in the market. So he developed a plan. He decided to invite the mayor of the town for a ride, and the mayor accepted, you know, the invitation. Now, unknown to the mayor, Benz had already arranged a milkman to park his horse and the wagon across the street where they were going to drive. And he had already informed the milkman that when they will drive past him, that he should whip up the old horse such that the wagon will pass by them. But when it will pass by them, it should just pass, you know, by them. It should give what's the equivalent, the German equivalent of Bronx cheer. Now, some of us are probably not familiar with that. And you'll permit me to show you what a Bronx cheer look like. You know, even though it's not something I'm very comfortable with from the pulpit, but I need to show you. You know how kids would do? All right? Aha, that's a Bronx cheer. It's like a sound of derision and of contempt. So it's like, na, 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 you know, that kind of a thing. Okay, so he said the milkman should do that to the Benz that they were driving together with the mayor. And so that happened on this particular day. The plan actually worked because the mayor was furious. And he demanded that Benz should overtake the milk wagon. Benz apologized. And he said, look, I would have loved to do that, mayor, but there was this ridiculous speed law that would not permit me to go faster than 3.5 miles per hour, or what I've called 5.6 kilometers per hour. That's less than 6 kilometers per hour. Very soon afterwards, of course, prompted by the mayor's action, that law was changed, and that limit was broken forever. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but the truth of the matter is that people are very good at putting limits on other people. We live in a society that put limits on us. People put limits on our creativity, on our potentials. And if you come into a new year like this, there are limits to your expectations, hopes, and aspirations. And to such extent that if you're not careful, you begin to dwell in what I call the culture of limits. Before you think about two possibilities, two things that can actually happen, you have already thought about 10 that will not make it to happen. That's what I refer to as the culture of limits. As you come into this year, people of God, what if you found out this year that the possibilities that are ahead of you are limitless, that you are actually able to attain, to achieve whatever thing that you have thought you were not able to achieve in past years? Now, what if you found out that the limits that you have actually found yourself in is not so much about the limits that have been placed upon you by the people, more about the limits that you have placed upon yourself? You know, God had an encounter with Abraham in Genesis chapter 13, verse 15. The Bible says, after the Lord had separated from him, and he said, Abraham, lift up your head, look to the north, the east, the west, and the south. As far as you can see, I give you. Genesis chapter 13, verse 15. In other words, if you can see it, I will give it. If you can see it, I will give it. Whatever you don't have is what you can't see. That's essentially what God is saying to Abraham. Whatever you don't have is what you can't see, not what I can't give. Now, what if you found out that the limitations of your life have been limitations that you have put upon yourself rather than the limitations the world have put upon you? This morning, I want us to begin to explore what I titled limitless. And when I say limitless, I'm talking about the fact that the possibilities of your life are limitless. I'm saying that there is no limit of what you can achieve this year. By extension, I'm saying that it is possible. The possibilities are limitless means anything is possible. Anything is possible. You can attain that dream. You can attain that hope. You can attain to that aspiration in your heart because anything is possible. Now, I will take you back to the passage we have read in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. It says this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, the message translation. It says, the smallness you feel comes from within you. Your life's and small. In fact, before then, look at the previous. It says, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open spacious life. We did not fence you in. In other words, it's not our problem that you are living a small life. The smallness you feel comes from within you, your life's and small. But you are leaving them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Church, please say with me, open up your life. Open up your lives, live openly and expansively. Now, we're starting this series and we're going to go through it over 4 weeks because I have identified 4 things which is going to make open life, or rather open and expansive life, to remain a mirage. In other words, something that we are not able to achieve or attain. You know, many of us feel constricted. Many of us in our area of endeavor, we feel constrained. We feel that there is this far we can go and not further. And we've tried it again and again, and we've come to a point where we believe that, well, it can't get better than this. My submission to you on the platform of God's word is the possibilities are limitless over your life this year if you would just take the lead off. Open up your life. I have identified 4 things and or 4 areas that will ensure that your life does not feel choked or restricted. And these 4 things, we're going to take them one by one over the next 4 weeks. Number one, for instance, the possibilities are limitless. One, if you will quit planning your work and start walking in His plan. I'll say that again. The possibilities of your life are limitless. In other words, anything is possible. And when I say anything is possible, I'm talking about anything good, anything desirable, the desires of your heart. Anything is possible. The possibilities are limited, or are limitless, rather, if you will quit planning your work and start walking in His plan. I call that limitless wisdom. Limitless wisdom. And that's the title of today's message. The possibilities are limitless if you will quit planning your walk and start walking in His plan. If you quit planning your walk, and start walking in His plan. To plan your walk means to start to determine the course of your life. If you will stop determining the course and the direction of your life, and you start walking in His plan, anything is possible. Limitless means boundlessness. It means infiniteness. It is anything is possible. You can have a peaceful home. It is possible. Don't be deceived by the information in our world that that is just the way it is and that's the way we have to live about. It is not true. You can have a peaceful home. You can have a peaceful marriage. Your marriage can be restored. It does not matter how much of brokenness it has suffered. It is possible. Your career can take a high-flying status this year in just within 12 months. It is possible. I'm saying for students that you can actually achieve a good grade and not struggle with the C's and D's. It is possible. The limit of your life is not the limit that we have placed upon it. It's not the limit that God has placed upon it. It is the limit that you have placed upon it. And you can choose today to walk out of that limitation and restriction. The opportunities and the possibilities of your life are limitless. If you will quit planning your walk and start walking in His plan. If you will quit planning your walk and start walking in His plan. You know, there's something very ridiculous that I've come across. This beats my imagination, even in my short period of stay on this side of eternity called earth. What beat my imagination is the fact that people that don't even know what will happen in the next minute are the one that wants to decide what will take place in their lives, not just in the next year, but in the next 5, 10 years. And they have no clue as to what will happen in the next minute. And that's the category that many of us, you and I, will fall into. What if we will begin today to start walking in His plan and stop planning our own walk? Now, Why have I chosen to call this limitless wisdom? I'm not suggesting that you have a limitless wisdom. Of course, you know you don't. You know, I'll be kidding you if I tell you you have limitless wisdom. Why I titled it limitless wisdom is simply because I'm suggesting to you on the platform of God's word this morning that the possibilities of your life is limitless if you will walk in His wisdom. The possibilities of your life will become limitless if you will walk in His wisdom. So why call this limitless wisdom? Because God's plan, the plan of God for your life, is a product of His wisdom. The plan of God for your life and my life is a product of His wisdom. Put it this way. What you set on the dining table is the plan of God. Where it is prepared or cooked is the kitchen, which is the wisdom of God. Each time you come across the plan of God, like it says, the plan that the thought I have towards you are thought of good and not of evil, he's talking about His plan. That plan is a product of His wisdom. And I can tell you authoritatively this morning, people of God, that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. And those plans that is God for your life and my life are product of His divine wisdom. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 puts it this way, if you want to put it up, please. It says, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers might be made known via the church the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 10. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom. Now stop there. When you come across the word intent talks about intention. It talks about plan. The intent or the plan is to show the manifold wisdom of God unto principalities and powers to make it known to them via the church. That exactly is the connection between the intent of the plan and the wisdom of God. In this particular instance, he's talking about the revelation of Christ and how he's going to destroy the powers of the enemy so that we are going to have liberty as the church. We are going to demonstrate the victory that Jesus has got for us. That wisdom was packaged in the person of the Lord Jesus, revealed over the age in his plan. But that plan is actually a product of the divine wisdom of God. In fact, the Bible says that if the princes of this, the power of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because at the point of their of Jesus' crucifixion, the wisdom of God has packaged the redemption of man into his crucifixion, and they never knew. That plan was a product of the wisdom of God. The same way, the plan of God for your life and my life are the product of His divine wisdom. And I'm suggesting to you that if you want to experience a limitless life or limitless living, you need to begin to appropriate the wisdom of God. In other words, the wisdom of God will put you on a platform that you begin to experience every possibility. Anything good can happen to you. To live this expansive, limitless life, you need to operate in His wisdom. Church, please say with me, wisdom. I want you to say it out loud, wisdom. Now, for you to begin to operate this limitless, boundless life, a life without restriction, constraints, that many of us are feeling now, we need to operate in His wisdom. Now, for us to understand what this wisdom is, because I'm sure you are itching to know, so how can I take a hold of this wisdom? I want you to start from the base. I want us to start from the basis. And the basis of the wisdom of God is the knowledge of God. Knowledge is the gathering or the accumulation of facts. Knowledge is the God. Now, just stay with me, people of God, because we're going somewhere together. And I want us to be on this flight. I don't want anybody to drop out. It is so important because I desire so strongly that this life marks the beginning of a high-flying status in your life. A year that will bring a division between what was and what can be. Okay, The knowledge is simply accumulation of facts. It's a gathering of facts. So when you gather facts, you are gathering knowledge. You are said to be knowledgeable because you've got facts. Now, wisdom is the application of knowledge. So wisdom is when you begin to apply the knowledge that you got. The facts that you have gathered by the reason of knowledge, you are able to apply that knowledge. That's when you begin to say to be operating in wisdom. Now, listen. Knowledge answers the question, what? Wisdom answers the question, how? In other words, knowledge tells you what needs to be done. Wisdom tells you how to do it, especially in this particular instance. Because the circumstances of our lives are not exactly the same. So even when we have gathered the same facts, the manner of application that will produce results will be different because the circumstances and the intricate nature of our situations are not exactly the same. Now, so, given that you know the facts that you know, how do you apply it in this particular situation is what you refer to as wisdom. Now, wisdom helps you to know how to apply the facts in this particular situation, in your particular situation. It also helps you to know which of the facts to apply in this situation. Now, stay with me, people of God. Proverbs chapter 26, I want you to turn there. Proverbs chapter 26, I'll read verse 4 and 5. Don't forget where we have started from. Wisdom helps you to know how to apply the facts in this particular situation. It also helps you to know which of the facts that you need to apply per time. Proverbs chapter 26, and I'm going to read from verse 4. I will actually read verse 4 and 5. It says this. Number one, verse 4 rather. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you know or lest you also be like him. In other words, don't answer a foolish man because by the time you start providing answer to him, you'll be exactly, we're not going to be able to separate who is foolish. You understand? That's verse 4. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. In other words, respond to him in his foolishness. Otherwise, if you don't respond to him, he will not appreciate the fact that he's a fool. These are facts, both of them. Which one is true? The first one says, answer a fool, or rather, don't answer a fool. And then the next one says, answer a fool. Both are facts, or what you would call knowledge. Which one do you apply at this point in time? And how is what wisdom helps you to accomplish? Because there are instances when foolish people will talk to you in your office that you don't need to answer them. And there are instances when a foolish man will address you in your office that you will need to actually provide an answer. But for you to know which of these situations to apply which of this knowledge or facts, wisdom needs to kick in. Church, are you following me? Now, the wisdom of God tells you how to apply facts. And it also tells you which of the facts to apply per time. Let me make it a bit more simpler. Wisdom is beginning to see, is seeing things from God's viewpoint and responding accordingly. Wisdom is seeing things from God's viewpoint and responding accordingly. So it combines the two. The seeing things from God's viewpoint talks about the knowing, because it's the viewpoint of God that supplies the knowledge. The responding is the applying or the application, the correct application of it. Because when you are responding, you are responding in a particular way. So there is an how to it. So the wisdom of God is seeing things in God's viewpoint, from God's viewpoint rather, and responding accordingly to it. Why am I going into all these details? Because you desperately need this wisdom to break free from the shackles of restrictions over your life. You and I, we need this wisdom to set us at liberty from the restrictions and the cage of the devil over our lives, the limit, the ceiling that has caged us in over the years, that has limited our experience of the supernatural in the kingdom. We need to come to the platform where we are released from it, and it comes by the instrumentality of operating in the wisdom of God. So the question is, how do I get this wisdom that you have described? Because I believe that this wisdom is going to lead me to an expansive life, a life without limit, a life outside of the box, outside of the cage. People of God, you need to know two things. And this is going to open up a whole new experience for you in terms of the connection with the wisdom of God. They are very close, but they are not exactly the same. The first thing that you need to know is the word of God. And the second thing is the word from God. Now, they sound similar, but they are not exactly the same, and I'm going to explain, especially as it relates to the wisdom of God. The word of God. The word of God presented to us in paper is the Bible. And that's why whenever we come together, I always encourage you to come to church with your Bible and flash it, you know, so that the devil will be mad. Because in here is the word of God, if you like. In here is the knowledge, the facts to run your life. Herein is the fact to run my life. Any problem or issues that will ever arise in your life or that have arisen in your life in times past has its answer by reason of the facts in this word. This 66 books of God, of the Word of God, has been packaged together. They've been packaged together by the Spirit of the Lord to provide answers to the questions that will ever be asked by any person. And it's so potent, it's so powerful. Now, that is the word from God, or that is the word of God, rather. This is the word of God. In here are facts about business, how to run one. In here is facts about marriage. In here is facts about education. In here are facts, rather, about your health, about raising children, about managing finances. All of them and many more are packaged in here. And that's why I say it's a reservoir of knowledge, because it contains all the facts to deal with all of these issues of our lives. Now, but apart from the word of God, there is now what we call the word from God. Now, the word from God begins to take the word of God, open it up, and bring it in such a way that it applies intricately to your circumstance. It brings out the fact as it is contained in the word of God, and use that as a platform to teach you how to apply that word of God in your specific situation. And that is exactly what we refer to as the word from God. It's a specific word from God that has its basis on the word of God, but the difference is that it applies specifically to you in your own situation right now. And that's where you have the wisdom of God. Because it talks not just about the general fact that is available in the word, It talks about the specific application of that word to your situation right now. It is when that illumination comes in your heart with that specificity that addresses your situation, the intricate nature of your situation, that is when you are said to have an experience of the wisdom of God. So it is seeing things from God's viewpoint, knowledge, which is the fact, and then a teaching of how it applies to you in your situation, which makes you to be able to respond accordingly. And that is why the wisdom of God is so vital to our progress in life, because it tells us the situation and the application of the fact that we have gained from God's word. Put it this way. You cannot attain the wisdom of God that tells you about your specific situation without the knowledge of the fact of the word of God. But it is possible to have the facts and still be in the wilderness, not still being able to know exactly how to do it and go about it, because you don't have a specific word from God that gives a direction to your situation because of its peculiar nature. That is why every one of us needs, apart from just the general word of God, the facts in the Bible, which is so vital, we need a specific word from God at every point in time. By the reason of my position, by the grace of God as a pastor, I have come to counsel people about their, for instance, marriages. Marriages that have troubles. And you will be shocked that there is not just one single master key to taking care of every of the marriage problem. Even though the platform of what is going to be used will come from God's word, the specific application, because of the intricate differences in the nature of the situation, are not exactly the same, because of the peculiar nature of the situation. That is why everyone present here, you and I, will need that wisdom to open up our lives so that we can begin to live expansively. I'm sure the question in your heart will be, okay, if this wisdom of God is so, so vital to our lives, how come not many people are so interested? I'm glad you are asking that question, if you have, you know. How come many of us are not so interested in finding out about this wisdom of God? This divine illumination that comes into our heart that begins to give specific answers to the specific questions in our heart. Because it does not just come about reading the Bible. Reading the Bible is good, it gives you the facts. But you need the word from God. The word from God. I'm not sure whether you have come across this particular candy. This candy, when you put it in your mouth, you begin to lick it. At a particular point in time, you feel a dropping of chocolate, you know, in your mouth, you know, because that chocolate was actually packaged within the candy. Now, I'm not suggesting you start eating them today, okay? It's packaged within that candy, but until you lick it to a point, you don't have the experience of that chocolate. Now, think picture this. That candy is like the word of God, is the fact, okay? But the experience of the chocolate, which is the experience, if you like, in this instance, of having a breakthrough, will not come until you have chewed or licked that word, in this case, that candy, to a certain extent, and then there is going to be a pouring in your mouth of this new experience. Now, the word of God is available to all of us. But over and above that, in order to experience this wisdom we were talking about, we need the word from God. And that comes as we begin to chew, if you like, the cud, chew the candy in our heart and in our mouth, to begin to have that deeper experience, because it's actually that deeper experience that gives an application, an intricate application to our situation. Now, how is it that many people are not so interested in the wisdom of God. Like I said, I'm glad you are asking that question. And it's so simple. The reason why many of us are not so interested in this wisdom is simply because many of the time, the wisdom of God is unattractive. It is unattractive. Don't forget the definition I gave. It is seeing things from God's viewpoint and responding accordingly. Many of the times, this wisdom of God is not attractive. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about it as being comparable to rubies. You know, it says it's even worth more than gold and silver. That's the book of Proverbs, chapter number 8, verse 10. Now, people who have actually had the opportunity of coming across gold and all of these beautiful ornaments in their natural state have told us that when you come across them in their natural state, they are not very attractive. As a matter of fact, many people will have thrown them away because they think they are useless. But if you will pay attention to it and remove the dross, the impediments, and the coverings, then you will discover that you actually have a beautiful ornament in your hand. The same way with the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God comes across to us as being very unattractive. Now, in this Bible, in this Word of God, it talks about the wisdom of God, for instance, for our marriage. Why are many people not taking care of it or taking hold of it? Because it's unattractive. It talks about things like, you know, cleansing her. Ephesians chapter number 5. The man should cleanse the wife and purify her by the washing of the water by the word of God. It talks about something like the woman submitting himself to the man and honoring him. These are not very attractive and cool words. So many of the times when the wisdom of God will jump up at us, because they are not attractive, we despise it. Now, say for instance, in the area of our finances, when you open the Word of God, you will see a lot about the wisdom of God regarding our finances. But it comes across as unattractive because it comes with curse words, and I call them curse words because of the way we treat them, like giving. You know, curse words like tithing, you know, curse words like saving, like investing, like scattering, curse words like being shrewd. And because those words are not very attractive to us, we drop them. What we are not sure, what we are not aware of is that at the point of dropping this wisdom, we have actually signed in for a life of restriction. Okay? And a life that cages us in. Because what we are looking for in the Word of God are cool romantic words, you know, like credit, you know, which is conspicuously missing, you know. And that is why the wisdom of God is not attractive, and that is the reason why many of us are not embracing the wisdom of God. In this Word of God is the wisdom of God, for instance, regarding raising children. Raising godly children. And it talks about things like the training. And that's not a very cool word for us because the best we want to do is to do teaching. And there are two different things. To train is to show by example. It's not just to do. You're doing it and you're showing it as an example. So it's not just talking about what you need to do. It's about I'm telling you what you need to do. And I'm doing exactly the same so that you can follow my example. That's the wisdom of God for raising children. But what we want to do, the best we want to do is to do the teaching. Don't do as I do. Just do as I say. And so it always fails. You know, I've come across many people and I usually, you know, it just amuses me. When people who are not believers, they are not Christians, but when they want to find schools for their kids, they look for Christian schools and put them in there. In other words, do him well, send him back to me, you know, that kind of a thing, you know. They want Christian values, but they are not willing to live by them. And they want to just bring the child, fix him, send him home, and then let him bear my surname. You know, it doesn't work, people of God. Why? Because the wisdom of God talks about training, not just teaching. There is the wisdom of God, for instance, for greatness in life. And it comes with such words like serving, like stewardship, feet washing, washing the feet of others, cleaning up the mess of others. That's the way that the Lord has designed for greatness. Now, this is the wisdom of God. And if we're going to begin to excel in 2019 over and above the restrictions placed by the enemy upon our life, and in this instance, maybe overtly or covertly, supported by our own decision not to follow the wisdom of God, then we need to begin to find the wisdom of God and begin to walk by it, because therein lies exactly what will get us above the restrictions and the limitations of our lives. Proverbs chapter number 7, or chapter number 4, and I'm going to read from verse number 7. I want you to open to that place because we're beginning to round up, and I want you to see what this wisdom will do for you and in you. Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse 7. It says this: wisdom is a principal thing. Principal talks about this is crucial. This is, if you want to miss anything, don't miss this. This is not an elective subject. This is a core course. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Verse 8, exalt her, talking about wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. He's using that word metaphorically. In other words, you're going to sit with the princess in the land if you're going to embrace her. Verse 10, hear my son and receive my saying, and the years of your life will be many. This wisdom is going to prolong your life. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. This wisdom will create, as it were, before you an open field that you can be able to run and achieve anything. Verse 13, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Still talking about wisdom. Keep her. I love this. For she is your life. That's wisdom of God. Seeing things from God's perspective and applying yourself to it, this is what he's going to do to you this year. This is exactly what he's going to do to me this year. When I begin to see things from God's perspective and I begin to apply myself to it and respond accordingly, then the sky, as it were, is the starting point, because the restrictions are going to be broken forever. Why? Because I've embraced wisdom. It goes to the essence of saying, this is your life. You lose this, you're gone. That's exactly what he's saying. It's so important. It's far, far more important even than the air that you breathe in. Many years ago, a young man came to Socrates. Socrates happened to be one of the old-time philosophers. This man, young man, came to him and he said, oh, great Socrates, I've come to you for wisdom. Socrates was able to recognize his arrogance right away. And so he said, okay, you need wisdom? The young man said, yes. All right, come along with me. So they walked through the street and then they went into the sea nearby. When they got into the sea, they went chest deep into the water. And then he said to the young man again, what did you say you wanted? The young man said, I need wisdom. Socrates grabbed him by the neck, push him under the water, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. He let the man out, the young man out, looked at him again and said, "What did you say you wanted?" The young man said, "I want wisdom." He grabbed him again by the neck, pushed him under the water. 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 40, 45, allowed the man to come out again. This time, he was already gasping. "What do you want, young man?" Socrates asked, breathing heavily and a bit confused about what was going on. He said, "Wisdom, O wise and wonderful Socrates." Grab him by the neck again, push him under the water. 20 seconds, 30, 40, 45, 50 seconds. Allow the man to come up again. "What do you want, young man?" "I need here," the young man shouted. Screamed, "I need hair. I need hair." Socrates looked at him. "When you begin to want wisdom, the same way you are craving for hair now, you will get it." People of God, when you begin to crave wisdom, the way you crave the necessary hair that you breathe in, the Lord is going to release it into you. And when this wisdom of God comes to you, don't forget what we define it as: seeing things from God's perspective and responding to it accordingly. When you begin to do that, the limits over your life will be broken. The shackles on your feet will be broken. You will be free and live what the Bible refers to as the free, expansive life in all areas of your endeavor. This is my prayer for you, people of God, 2019. And why not? It is possible. Shall we pray?